Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Bertanes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have great guests here to introduce. So it's first Susie Dardenberg Dahl, but I have to look up to keep it really right because she has a really complicated title. And we will talk later about it because I'm very curious to hear about this. She's a psychologist, author, and founder Transforming Lives Through Education Across Africa. Dr. Susie Dardenberg Dahl champions resilience, purpose, and lasting impact. And then Risto, where I'm very happy to welcome him too. He's an entrepreneur, media innovator, and coach, but furthermore also investor, bridging television, digital culture, and conscious leadership. Risto Kulasma drives epiphanal growth and creative impact, and I'm very happy to have both here today in our show. But first, let's kick things off with the song selected by Risto.
Lola, thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, yeah, 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 yeah. It's a beautiful day, hey. Lola, thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain.
Welcome here in the show. Welcome, Risto.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
I would love to introduce you with a few words, which is hard to do, but I try my very best. Risto is a Finnish media leader, entrepreneur, producer, investor, coach, creative, and entrepreneur whose career spans international television, digital events, and innovation. His path has taken him from creative entrepreneur to global investor, to be honest. Driven by curiosity and belief in the power of vulnerability, his journey spans five home countries and weaves together spiritual practices, forest stewardship, investment in the future of energy and media, and the current chapter of family life by the sunny beach in Los Angeles, to be honest, I'm a bit jealous if I wouldn't have the sun here from my side. He co-founded Tubicon, one of Europe's largest YouTuber and creator event networks, and has worked as a television producer, executive, and strategic advisor across multiple markets. Risto's professional journey intertwines with storytelling, community building, and conscious leadership, from producing award-winning TV content like the Duty Sounds and Doc Ventures to guiding organizations, transformation, and coaching leaders towards sustainable growth. He has co-founded Finnish Flow, a programming initiative for global leadership engagement during the World Economic Forum in Davos. Driven by curiosity, empathy, and a belief in human potential, Risto champions intentional work, mental clarity, and holistic success personally and professionally. Again, welcome here in the show, Risto.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
You left me a small quote where I ask you for, you say, what you practice, you become. And I think you're a really role model for the sentence, I'd say, seeing you. And I mean, I'm happy that we know each other also in person, seen us many times or a few times already at World Economic Forum. And my impression was it's hard to really put you into a box. And I think that's also the least you want, and you're touching so many points. You're an expert in so many fields. You're bringing together people in so many areas. You are a really kind of global investor, and you could do it for many branches from your experiences. If we look back into your childhood, was there already an experience, or do you have already, or do you have a memory still where you'd say, yes, it started there? This Risto full of energies, but also full of being a well-structured person who not only dreams, but also put our dreams into practice.
That's a fun question, and I really needed to think about it. And I think this goes with the gratitude to my parents who really showed the world to me. We traveled a lot, and the specific moment was when I was 13, and a donkey's head peeked into our hotel room in Kathmandu. And that somehow that was the moment where the dots connected that growing up in Finland was not everything, and there is more. And I can only thank them for planting the travel bug as well.
Sounds great. Do you have also, I mean, when you're talking like this about your parents, I mean, sometimes parents are role models, sometimes not, but who were your earliest role models?
I was in Boy Scouts, and I think it was really the older Boy Scouts, those who stayed long periods sleeping in the forest and did like long skiing expeditions and all that. And when you are in Boy Scouts, you naturally grow into the new challenges, and that's also, I would say, where the my connection to nature was really cultivated.
Is this something, your connection to nature, and I just try to picture this in my head, is this something which also gave you the ability and the trust to overcome fears?
Yeah, I think it has something to do with that. My father built a cottage when I was born, and now we are together stewarding that forest. And I started to spend longer periods in the forest and in the at the cottage alone. And little did I know, but kind of I started to understand that, okay, there is like a more formal way to be in solitude, and it's called a retreat. And I started to study more like Buddhist literature, and started to understand the benefits of staying in the forest, learning to meditate, and yeah, I guess that's where also the spiritual path started.
And is it still a part of your life that you, for example, do meditation every day or if your yoga practices?
Yeah, I've been through a lot of different practices, different lineages. I've been lucky to practice with some of the leading Buddhist teachers, as well as indigenous leaders and teachers. And I would say now it's more like on demand. I don't have like a morning meditation session that always has to be there. For me, it's now more like based on needs, and you know, if it's a stressful day, I can use different techniques to calm myself a bit down.
And I think, I mean, it helps maybe also that you're very good in storytelling because you built so many companies, organizations, but also events. And I think, I mean, you make stories, you make media, no? You are from your heart also somebody who's creative. Would you say that it goes along with your love to nature or with being addicted to nature?
Well, if it's an addiction, it's a very healthy one. Yeah, I mean, storytelling, it's been my craft. I studied for it. I've been working like over 2 decades, strictly in media, and I also seen the different waves and new starts in the commercial storytelling. I was there when the YouTubers came, then the podcast wave, and then when moving to LA, I had high hopes about my, you know, Hollywood success. But that was the time when Hollywood went through big changes, as it's still going, and the industry is like a shedding its skin at the very moment. And I took a proper pause for a couple of years, pivoted and started to build this investment platform for clean energy. And only like few months ago, I was invited back, and now I'm looking media more from the investor perspective, and we are building a fund that is investing in the new wave of creator economy.
I think it's at the really right point that you stepped into this because, I mean, many people say you should step into something when it's increasing, but I think somebody like you who is brave enough to step into this, knowing his own expertise, then it makes absolutely sense, I think, to step exactly into this field when it's challenging, right? Because challenging means that there might be also chances for renewing and putting new ideas into this. Your support in media, you are venturing, investing in media and putting great people together there. Is your idea that you can drive the change, you can help this industry also in doing better because it is, I think, also about finding new paths, right?
Sure. I mean, media is a very large sector of all kind of content and different storytelling styles and ways. With the fund, it's called Altitude IP Holdings. We focus in the creator economy. We invest in independent creators and independent movies and platforms. So we are kind of taking the approach outside the traditional movie studio walls, and focusing in creators YouTubers, regardless what platform they publish their content. And we want to support them, especially to not to lose the rights, which is the usual story when you, let's say you create a TV show and you sell it to Netflix, you basically sell all the rights to the streamer, and that obviously is not creating the longevity. And we are introducing a different approach where we want to invest in the creators and their work already early phase, but in a way where they are keeping the IP rights.
Thank you so much. When you think about the people and the organizations you have supported until now, is there one story you would like to share with us? Because it is maybe touching, or maybe the film you supported is so impressive.
It's a good question. I would maybe now kind of take it towards the energy and the clean energy, the energy transition, which is the other fund and that we are building. And that's been an interesting journey. My co-founder Ilkay is someone who has had like 30 years in the energy sector, while I've been joining more as the kind of beginner's mind and learning mindset. And there we already have established ourselves as a bit of a like a bridge. So the community was quite scattered, and the operators and the investors in this niche where we operate necessarily not came together that much. And now we have a global programming where we host these events as a part of the bigger climate events like London Climate Action Week or New York Climate Week, Davos, and so forth. So I guess to answer your question, the kind of service is again to bring people together in a meaningful way. And trust the power of community.
Really impressive. Is it also that storytelling or makes a place a big role there? And if you think yes, and it has to be increased, how do you help people that increase in this?
I think we all obviously have a starting point in storytelling. Maybe people sometimes shy away from their storytelling skills, and they feel maybe not that sure about that. But I think it's like a muscle. You can actually train it. Obviously some of us have more abilities. For example, myself, I'm always been more in the producer position and or directing behind the camera, telling stories on front of big audiences is not maybe the my absolute favorite thing. My approach has been to enable the stars to shine and work with the true professionals on that side. But we all have it. I just put my 4-year-old to sleep, and she always demands new stories, and that's actually quite a fun exercise to come up with the whole new story, whole new world every night. And that's a one way to practice it, I guess.
That's nice. Thank you for sharing. Just not to ask to be too intimate, but how is it with the storytelling you do with your daughter? Is it that she gives you some words and you have to tell a story then? Or?
Now she's 4, and her world is expanding rapidly, and actually she starts to be the master storyteller. So I need to work to keep up with the speed. But yeah, we have like our little games and ways to kind of feed the stories to each other and pass them on and build on. And yeah, I guess one of the golden rules of storytelling is never to say no, but it's always yes and.
Thank you so much. So we continue with the story, and I have some questions I'm very curious to ask and hearing your answers. After the short break, we have now for approximately 2 minutes. So stay tuned, and we hear each other later. We hear each other in 2 minutes again.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So I'm happy to continue talking with Risto. Risto, you told me that you did a lot of storytelling in us. And I mean, seeing your CV, you really know that you are really good in storytelling, because you not only do storytelling to other people and are good in this by raising new event formats, but of course you were a media executive and you're specializing in commercial storytelling across television, podcasting, and large-scale live experience, created multiple award-winning television formats, including one that aired for more than a decade, served as an executive at the Finnish Broadcasting Company, and founded Europe's leading arena-scale YouTuber convention across 6 countries. What is your recipe if somebody comes and would ask you that he wants to step in the field of YouTuber, getting a really successful YouTuber? Do you have a recipe for him? And is this something where storytelling plays a role?
Of course. I mean, that is obviously in the very core of storytelling, to, you know, put yourself in front of the camera and you know, open up your world. And I would say, regardless your starting level, I would say consistency. When it comes to, especially to YouTube, showing up consistently is the key, because you learn all the time, you know, build your skill set and It's a very core part of the building an audience as well.
Yeah, I think so too. So a lot of people think that it's easy to just show up and say, hello, I'm looking good and have something to say. But yes, exactly, it is like you said, there's much, much more necessary to show up and be successful with this. You stepped from a creative over being an entrepreneur into being an investor. Can you share with us your motivation and the path? What was the reason for that? Was there an experience, maybe something which touched you?
Well, I think it boils down to the belief that the dreams are made to come true, and that we all have the potential to do anything, basically. And as an investor, you obviously support other people's dreams and plans. And I think it all boils down to the power of dreaming and especially doing.
You're very involved in this investor's role, of course, also with money. And on the other hand, you shared with us this wonderful story with a forest where you've started walking through the forest as a kid and still bonded with this forest, not only you and the forest, but also your father. And I know that you have also really deep contacts to people, indigenous people. I think you have also authored a book about this, and you're inviting them all the time, not as a kind of being part of a circus, but being part of the people which needs to be heard, people who have to say something. Is it something which is challenging for you to step in these two worlds of indigenous people, where I think money doesn't play that role, and on the other hand, the investor's head, where money decides about everything?
Yeah, it's two interesting worlds which actually intersected couple of weeks ago, where we organized a fundraiser for an Indigenous alliance, which is supporting their representation in global decision making and them preserving their culture. I guess in my case, you know, being coming from a smaller country. We obviously, Finland has a beautiful Sami tradition as well in the Lapland. That side of indigenous world always somehow touched me. It's a quite emotional bond, actually, less than intellectual that, okay, now we need to help. It's more about the nature connection, the kind of a lack of in their culture, especially what I've learned is that while we believe in this illusion of separation, the indigenous are great teachers, as they see themselves part of the nature, and the exploiting a nature is obviously not and it has nothing to do with their culture, because you would be exploiting yourself. So I think there is so much to learn from the indigenous communities. Also, given they are, stewarding the, around 80% of the biodiversity, we don't even understand how much, how big role indigenous people have when it comes to the remaining nature and protecting it. And obviously they are in the forefront when it comes to climate change. They are taking the hit as among the first ones. So I always felt great respect towards the indigenous, and I've been trying to do what I can to support their causes and bringing them into surroundings that might be a bit surprising, like, establishing stages where they meet world leaders and dive into dialogues that always provide us something new.
I think it's super important what you do, and you are a rare, you are doing, I mean, there are a lot of people working with indigenous people, but it's rare, this thinking what you just shared with us. And I think it's so important to give these people the ability to play a role in our world and get funding for bringing their ideas into reality and help them to protect them, where they come from and what they bring with us and what they could do for us in this world of quantum, of digitization. Would you say, what would you say, is this what they can help us maybe also from our understanding of the world? I mean, currently, a lot of people face depression or other psychosomatical illnesses because they feel overwhelmed of digitization, roboting, humanoid roboting especially, but also a lot of things which they feel overwhelmed and that they don't have the safety and security anymore of driving their lives, feeling who they are, having an idea what can be and what their role can be and word, and having a feeling kind of grounded. What can these people learn from indigenous people, and how can maybe, or how are you helping maybe also to support that?
Well, I would take it back to the greatest teaching of being part of the nature, and going into nature, whatever problems you are facing, I think nature has the answers, and it all starts there, obviously. And we, you know, the Western disease is to have this illusion of separation and being separated from the nature. So that's the first step to kind of reestablish your connection with nature and spend time and enjoy the you know, the nature where we all are part of.
Yeah, that's of course very, very wisely said. What are you planning with being an investor? What are your next goals there? I mean, we touched a bit the indigenous, but we touched a bit also the Hollywood, but I'm sure they have a wider goal.
Yeah, so now it's I'm focusing in the two areas of investing, and especially bringing capital and the investors together and stewarding the capital. My focus is in the clean energy. It's a very interesting industry where the, you know, innovation is driving it, and we are kind of entering a whole new world with regards to the demand of electricity. At the same time, the innovation is maybe not on up to the speed that there is the requirement. We see the AI data centers kicking in, and the energy demand alone that the data centers require are putting, forcing us to think things in a whole new way. So I love that innovation where we are in a way forced to come up with something that starts from the future instead of trying to replicate what we've been doing the past 100 years. So that's an interesting area of innovation. And we are there with our Energy Shift Capital platform, and the intention is really become the thought leader platform in this niche of climate tech and energy scale ups, and then that's the new thing where I'm learning every day. And The other area where I work as an investor is the media, and that's that feels obviously almost like a homecoming. I took that break in media, and now kind of coming back as an investor feels really, really good and meaningful.
I mean, you're building bridges also with Creative, for example, where you come from, where you're now with energy, where you started early also your spiritual understanding, and now you're also investing in another form of energy, right? So you have also a kid, and you told me that you are telling stories to your kid. A lot of people nowadays say, it's hard to have kids in this world because it's such a such a challenging time. What would you say to these people thinking if they should have kids?
Well, I would say go for it, obviously. And yeah, there's an interesting detail about our 4-year-old. With my wife, we decided not to show any screens to her, and also we don't give any artificial sugars. And interestingly, we thought we'd do this for her, and that was obviously the intention, that we want to, you know, cultivate her in a way where she's free from these cravings. But what happened after you know, now we are in the year 4, that decision actually really kind of came back to us, because she's extremely creative and easygoing child. There is no peaking cravings or crying for screens or you know, candies. Everything is actually much more easier with this decision, and we are now, you know, very happy parents with that decision, as our everyday life feels like more easier now.
Well, I congratulate you to this decision, because seeing when I'm flying many parents just having their kind of newborn in front of them in their Kinderwagen, and having placed their kind of it is really something. It looks like that it's made for, especially for this practice, where they can have in a kind of mold the phone and showing the newborn movies. I get so shocked about that, and giving them, when the newborn is crying or shouting, just a small chocolate egg. This is, I think, really really the worst you can ever do. So great that you're doing this, and thank you also for giving this advice to us, because I'm completely with you. It's not about the world, how it's moving. It's about us, how we live in this world and be a part of that. And I would like to ask you, as unfortunately our talk comes to an end, how would you like your legacy to shape the next generation of creators, of entrepreneurs, of people who want to build something?
Wow, that's a big question. I guess I shy away to advise too much anyone. That always leads to some troubles. But I guess I'm an example where I never felt comfortable put into a box. And I know, you know, you can get great results with in the box where you are, and you can kind of continue focusing and building in that box. You know, for that's not for me, and I'm more advocating the creativity and the opportunities till certain extent, and in that way also keeping it open minded to learn and keeping it curious and learning from new industries and connecting the dots with for example, your previous career, when you kind of get to a point where you want to reinvent yourself, it's not you never start, especially on the adult age, you never start from the zero. You always bring something with you, and that takes you forward. And from that perspective, I'm a big fan of new beginnings.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Risto, for the engaging discussion we had and for the inspiring insights. And I look forward to our ongoing exchange and the impact we will continue to make together the world a better place. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
So after the commercial break of approximately 2 minutes, we will continue with the introduction of Susie. And I'm very much looking forward to see you. So stay tuned, and we are back in 2 minutes. Thank you.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome, Susie, here in the show.
Hello, pleased to meet you again from last week in Dubai. So thank you.
Exactly. I wished we can do it both from Dubai today, because, I mean, it's sunny where I am now, but I think the temperature difference is a quite big one. So very much looking forward to seeing you soon again, Susie. And I would like to introduce you with a few words, and I'm sure that it doesn't meet everything, but for the rest, I'm happy if you can correct me and add something. So Susie Duttenberg-Doll, Dr. Susie Duttenberg-Doll, is an internationally recognized psychologist, author, and social entrepreneur whose life works bridges mental health, education, and sustainable development. As a founder of Right for Education, she has helped deliver accessible, digitally distributed learning resources to millions across more than 40 African countries. Her work goes beyond academic knowledge. It integrates psychological resilience, empowerment, civic participation, and holistic well-being. With a background in psychology and a deep commitment to social equity, she advocates for education not merely as instruction, but as liberation, a tool for dignity, longevity, emotional strength, and social transformation. Her leadership style combines compassion with strategic clarity, reflecting her belief that sustainable change begins with inner stability and organized, purpose-driven action. And to tell you a little bit more, Rights for Education currently reaches about 8 million people weekly in exactly 45 African countries. Impressive? Listen to her story. So welcome here, Susie. And I was told by you that you are not only doctor, you are not only psychologist, you are also a queen. Is this right?
Well, it is right. I'm queen of a place between Ghana and Togo with the Ewe tribe. And my African title is Mama in Greece, Tsivono the First. So it's an area near the town of Ho. And we have about 20,000 subjects, is how the Africans would call it. But I call them citizens.
That's nice. I like citizens even more, as it sounds more individual and more human.
It's interesting whether you talk African or European language, and I quite agree with you.
Is there a reason why they call them subjects and you call them citizens?
They call themselves subjects. So when they talk to me, they will say, Queen, we would like to talk, the subjects would like to talk to you. So that's how they would refer to themselves. It's not my choice.
Does it show a little bit the culture of the people, that they have a bit of distance to themselves, or is this just a...
Ghana in particular, but many African, there are many kings and queens in Africa. Many of them, the kingdoms consider themselves older than the European royalties. And the understanding of the role of the kings and queens in Africa is very much embedded in their culture, but also in their behavior. And the respect is given at all points.
Respect is a big, big word. And I think respect is also something we should talk more about this, and not even more about this on the Western countries, but also the respect against yourself and then against others. We haven't talked about this question, but if you like to answer, what do you think is the reason why people got so much away from the idea of respect against themselves and others? Because here in the Western countries, I feel this very often, that people get more and more rude against themselves, but also against each other. Just forget the greetings, talk to others with special names, which I learned in my childhood that you never say these words. Not just thinking that there is anybody else in the room, kicking others with your backpack you have on the shoulders. If you like to us to talk a bit more about it, what do you think is this difference reasoned in?
Yes, I think it's a very complex question. Part of it is surely an enforcement by media. I find particularly in German media, the way children talk to their parents is extraordinary. And the way discussions in politics discuss about older people and pension schemes is also extraordinary. It's not about thankful these people have developed the country and worked and whatever, achieved whatever, but they say, oh, they're now a burden on society. And so the treatment is different. In the African society overall, old people are treated with a lot of respect, and they're treated with the value of wisdom is very high. If you look at IQ tests, for example, we measure the IQs, which with age diminish, let's say things like speed of response, but we don't measure which, of course, it's harder to measure wisdom. Anybody who gets older understands that wisdom is actually happening and opinions are more considerate. Our society takes decisions at speed, and the mistakes are very clear. And I think that in itself explains why people are so harsh with themselves. They look at what could have happened and they look at the decisions they've taken, and then less pleased than they should be. I think if there was more exchange between, if there was more respect for wisdom and more exchange in the conversation, that would be very helpful. But a lot of families are split, and a lot of people don't have contacts to their grandparents or family, extended family members.
This is a super important point you mentioned, Susie. And I think this distraction, this saying that all people are burden instead of carry of wisdom, this is such a shame. And having also not the generations all in our society, but separating them, this is something which is not good. And where I think we can learn from the Africans. You decided to support the Africans, 45 countries, with your organization. Can you share with us what your idea was behind, and what is this, what it makes so special, what you brought to Africa?
And with pleasure. So I think if you take a lot of, I mean, the education system in Africa has really made impressive steps, unbelievable steps. What you now have is a lot of people under the age of, let's say, 25, they can all read and write, but over 30, a lot of people probably can't. And a lot of people, young people, they learn to read and write and they are guided by parents who are not alphabetized and who don't understand possibly that well the Western, the modern world, like contracts and qualifications and vaccinations and health issues. And so right for education is this lifelong learning practice. It gives us the dialogue between what parents would have with grown-up children and or adult children, I should say. So it's about life-solving. Today, for example, we talked about the need of democracy and why it's important to vote. So we are this thing. If I'm probably pleased with something we've achieved is that we have a tone which never talks down. So we never talk about, did you know, or let me tell you. We are right at the beginning. We are always very respectful and very equal, talking to equal. I think that's probably what makes us popular.
That's great.
And we've been the last pages, social media page in Africa for the last 10 years or so. So we're definitely respected for our work.
This is really, really amazing what you do. And I hope that your success can really increase much, much more, as it's so important that you bring something to the world. And what I really like is that you said, we are on the eye level of the people. We are not a kind of top-down looking at them as some which might feel, make them feeling minor or give them an idea that they have to look upwards to the big teacher. Of course, as you said, and I completely agree, we have so much wisdom in us, and often this is not a part of that what's being asked in official tests or so, but it's more important than ever. Wisdom from the young people, wisdom from the culture, wisdom also from the age, right? When did you know that you wanted to start something like this? And was there a kind of a situation you would like to share with us that you say, yes, that is something the world needs and it's me who want to do the step, next step there?
Possibly. I mean, I set up schools in Africa and I read quite a few schools. That's what made me a queen, because in an area I was probably the best known person there. But I realized that, you know, Africa is a continent of 1.5 million people, billion people, I should say. And schools, you know, that is 1,000 kids a school, if it's a big school. And then we do the social media platform. We now reach 8 million people. But we are now at the beginning of a complete new phase. And that means we, instead of expanding the page, which we wouldn't, we know how to do that, we now invite people to expand it with us. In other words, very good products. We're selecting good products in the health area, in the financial services area, in marketing areas, and we help them to establish themselves in Africa. By doing that, we use our huge reach of 8 million people very specifically into products in which it translates. So, and the interest is very big for that. So as a foundation, which we are the only foundation which is completely on Facebook, because Africans like Facebook and it's for free, we are now expanding from a social media platform into a commercial platform, which is acting. And because what Africa needs is no longer subsidies, what Africa needs is equal opportunities. And that's what we create.
Wow, very impressive. What is your goal with this? Or where do you see you and your mission in, let's say, 10 years?
It's a very difficult question. It's the beginning of a new path, which has a lot of interest. And we are excited to establish companies in Africa. And I really think it's a game changer, because a lot of Africa is the new frontier. A lot of companies want to get into Africa. A lot of products are there. And the opportunities are just vast. And at the moment, for many, many topics, you can be the biggest player in town, so to speak, because not that many people are setting up shop in Africa. So in other words, the opportunities are really phenomenal. And the partners we have are incredible. So they're Oxford University or Financial Times or Wikipedia, you know, they're big companies.
Wow. Very interesting. I mean, Susie, we know each other also in person, and very happy about that. And you are a very energetic person, always positive, as my impression got. You have to deal with a lot of things, and I can imagine that sometimes you see also things which are not as nice as you would like to have them. What keeps you so positive? Are there specific hacks, habits like sleeping, movement, reflection, that sustain your energy?
Well, I don't know. On good days, I think it's easier. On bad days, it's very difficult. And I don't know. I think I'm very lucky. I have a very good family life, and that keeps you always. It always gives the base back to a normal life, and I think that's extremely helpful. So I guess family life is my answer.
That sounds great. You have also kids, right?
Great.
Wow, that's of course really nice. Would you say that our kids have to get a special message to make it to have an easier life in the world, or can face the world's challenges? Do you have maybe an advice for them?
It's very diff I really think it's very difficult for young adults, and I think they all struggle between what is reality and what they see on the net and what they plan and what the reality is. And I think it's also difficult from, there's such greed for money rather than feeling financially comfortable, which I think everybody should want to achieve, that it's getting very confusing. And I do think it's very difficult. And again, I think, having a good family life or somebody you can trust is very important. I think a lot of people have nobody they can trust, really trust in bad times.
Absolutely. And I found this really important what you said, Susie. And I'm looking forward to hearing more from you next time when we have a bit more time to talk about it. But I think you could share really important topics here. And I'm happy that we can share this with our listeners here. What you do here, Dr. Susie Dattenberg-Doll, here for the people in Africa, for 45 countries, for more than 8 million people. Thank you so much for being part here at our show.
Thank you very much. All the best, and thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
And thank you for sharing this with us, and looking forward to driving the world on to be a better place. Looking forward to seeing you soon again, Susie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I hope that you have taken something away for yourself, or has it perhaps piqued your curiosity and interest enough to want to know more about that. Hopefully, you got also something for you out of this. Because that wraps us now, our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential of people around the globe. Join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey, sharing real stories of triumph, upliftment, and empowerment. Your presence and engagement mean the world to us, and we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Remember, this time is a gift for you to discover new inspiration, embrace exciting insights, and find the motivation to live life to the fullest. Don't hesitate to get involved. Your voice is valued, and together we can make a difference. Thank you for being part of the community, and until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together we rise. Thank you.